Let's turn together to the Word of God in Matthew 8. We're going to read through verse 17 of Matthew 8, beginning with verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus saith unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Verses 16 and 17 are the sermon text tonight. Let me read them once again. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. I thought it good, my dear fellow believers, in light of what's happening around us, in light of the news reports, the panic that many are experiencing, the fact that businesses and workplaces and other institutions are shutting down, thought it good to look at the Word of God here in Matthew 8, which speaks of Jesus as the one who took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. It's in Him that we must put our confidence, not in presidents and rulers, not in doctors and hospitals. We can use them, but we must not put our confidence in them, only in Him who appears here in Matthew 8, verses 16 and 17, as the great physician. And that's the theme for this evening's sermon as well. Jesus, the great physician. Matthew, that's where we'll begin. Matthew in verse 17 is quoting from Isaiah 53. Perhaps you recognize the fact that that's from that well-known and beloved chapter of Isaiah's prophecy. He's quoting Isaiah 53, verse 4. Only the Spirit who inspired the Word of God, both in Isaiah 53 and in Matthew 8, changes the Word slightly. In Isaiah 53, verse 4, we read, "Surely He hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows." While here in Matthew, where that passage is quoted, we read that He took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And the change in Matthew has to do with the fact that the verse is quoted in connection with Jesus' miracles of healing. Here in the chapter, He healed a leper, healed the servant of a centurion who was desperately ill with the palsy, cured Peter's mother-in-law of a fever, and then also, as you read in verse 16, healed many who were possessed with devils and all the sick who were brought to Him. No wonder then that the Spirit quotes Isaiah 53, verse 4, and speaks of our infirmities and our sicknesses. But you have to understand, we have to understand that the emphasis, first of all in Isaiah 53, and then also in Matthew 8, is on Jesus' power as the healer and physician of our souls, not on His power to heal our bodies, but on His work as the physician of our souls who heals our spiritual infirmities and spiritual illnesses. You'll see that if you read on from Isaiah 53, verse 4, having spoken there of our griefs and sorrows, and almost in the same breath, the Word of God in Isaiah 53, verse 5, speaks of our transgressions. and our iniquities. And that by way of making it absolutely clear that our griefs and sorrows are not, first of all, those that come as a result of our physical weaknesses and physical illnesses, but are our spiritual troubles, all that belongs to our transgression and our iniquity, as those who in God's sight are lost sinners. And if you remember that, when you read the Word of God here in Matthew 8, then you have to come to the same conclusion that even though Isaiah 53 verse 4 is quoted in connection with Jesus' miracles of healing lepers, fevers, palsies, and all the rest, that nevertheless, he appears also in Matthew 8 as the healer and Savior of our souls. But that raises the question, why is the verse quoted? Verse from Isaiah 53, which so clearly refers to our spiritual infirmities, why is it quoted here in Matthew 8 in connection with those miracles of physical healing? And the answer is that there's a connection between our physical ailments and our spiritual ailments. The connection is this, first of all, that those physical infirmities, palsy, fever, viruses, all the rest, are the result of sin. That's the connection, first of all. And Jesus, we'll come back to that, Jesus who came, first of all, to heal our souls, comes also to take away all those consequences and results of sin that trouble our lives. That's part of the Word of God here. But there's also the fact that those physical ailments are pictures of our sins. And that's even more important. When you read, for example, in Matthew 8 of leprosy, then you must not only think of that horrible disease, which is a kind of living death, and which is still around today, but you have to think of our spiritual condition as sinners in the same way. See, in the leprosy of the man whom Jesus healed, a picture of your and my spiritual condition. Because as sinners under the judgment of God, we too are afflicted with a kind of living death. We do our work and go about our business, walk and talk, while at the same time we are dead in trespasses and sins. You have to see in the stinking foulness of leprosy, the uncleanness of leprosy, a picture of our spiritual uncleanness and the stinking foulness of our sin. That's the connection between illness and our spiritual condition. And the Bible makes that connection here in Matthew 8 by quoting Isaiah 53 verse 4 in connection with Jesus' miracles of healing. But, and that's the first great lesson that we have to draw from this, but the fact that those illnesses are the result of sin and, if I may use that expression, only pictures of sin, that means that Jesus, coming to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy, is concerned, first of all, with our sins, and not with our physical infirmity. He has to be. And there's a lesson that you could take to heart, you and I could take to heart, in connection with the illnesses that many are suffering as a result of this virus and even the fact that they are dying from it. And it's this, that it does a man no good whatsoever to deal only, or even first of all, with the results. You have, if I may put it that way, to get to the root of the problem. And if you don't get to the root of the problem, then you're really doing no one any good. Thinking of Jesus as the great physician, you have to remember, in connection with what we read here, and that's why Isaiah is quoted here, you have to remember that Jesus as a physician gets at the root of the matter. Think of it this way, that if you had cancer and the result of that cancer was that you were suffering terrible pain, perhaps cancer of the spine or something like that, and the doctor to whom you went with your problems only dealt with the pain and gave you some aspirin or something stronger to help relieve the pain, but made no effort whatsoever even to diagnose the cancer that's causing the pain, then you would have a picture in your visit to the doctor of what Jesus came to do. Oh, he deals with those results too, but not first of all. His first work as our great physician is to heal our spiritual infirmities and sicknesses. If Isaiah wasn't quoted here in Matthew 8, we might be tempted to think of Jesus only as one who comes to heal our bodies and forget all about our great spiritual need. And so the Word of God makes a point of quoting from the prophecy of Isaiah, so that looking to Jesus as the great physician, we recognize what his work really is, and that he's the great physician first of all because he's able to help us in our real need. You see that? Have to think as you read Matthew 8, not of your own physical infirmities, but of your spiritual needs. And, of course, the whole situation in which we find ourselves forces us to do that. You have to look to him as the only one who can help you, help me with that great spiritual need. And the passage, especially verse 16, reminds us of that. He healed, verse 16, everyone who came to him sick or who was brought to him sick. But we can be sure, and there are other miracles that show us the truth of it, we can be sure that not all who were cured of their physical ailments were cured spiritually and were no better off as a result. Have to remember when you hear talk of a pandemic, that word is really, you know, not even true, because pan means all. And the proportion of those who've been affected by this new virus is actually very, very small in comparison to the world's population. If you're going to talk about a pandemic, then you had better talk about the pandemic of sin. That does affect all, and all will die of it, or to be even more correct, are already dead of it, except, of course, for the healing power of our Savior. And that's the Word of God then, first of all to you and to me, about our great physician. We can look at these miracles and see his power in the cleansing of lepers, and with a word, the immediate healing of a man sick of the palsy without even being present at his sick bed. But seeing that power of Jesus, you have to see in it his real power as the Son of God come into the world to save sinners, save those who are dead in trespasses and sins. You have to remember what he did at the cross. First of all, when by his suffering and death, he did exactly what Isaiah talked about. Took our infirmities, our great infirmities, and our real sicknesses upon himself. And, if you will, began our cure by taking them all away and paying the penalty of them. Under ordinary circumstances, of course, there's no fault in being ill with this coronavirus. But there's great fault in being dead in trespasses and sins, ill with an illness that no power except the power of God can heal. There's fault in that. It's not God's fault that I am sick in my soul, dead while I still live, but it's my own fault. I'm perhaps like the person who deliberately exposes himself to an illness like this. For whatever strange reason a person may have for doing so. And then also deliberately affects others. As a sinner, you know, one who is by nature a sinner, I've infected every member of my family with that horrible, deadly, and spiritual disease that we call sin. My children, my grandchildren, I've passed it on to every one of them. And Christ took that all on himself when he came into the world, made my sins his. And so began his work as the great physician with me. And then too, of course, having paid for my sins by his death on the cross, he sends me his Spirit to begin that long process of healing which will result finally in heavenly glory for me. That's what we have to think of in all of this. And should pray too. Not only that we ourselves realize our real need in light of what's happening. See it more clearly and see the need for the work of our Savior more clearly. But that others do too. Because God is able to use things like this to bring men and women, children, to their spiritual senses and to make them see that their great need is not for some kind of vaccine that will prevent them from getting this virus or for some cure, if there even is a cure for it, but that their great need is such that only the Son of God and God Himself through His Son can provide what they need. That doesn't mean all of that, that Jesus' work as the great physician has no application to our physical infirmities and sicknesses and all of the rest. Doesn't mean that at all. Doesn't mean either that you and I shouldn't take sensible precautions as far as this virus is concerned. And I trust that Reverend Klein and the elders, the consistory, are doing their best to make sensible precautions, to take sensible precautions for the congregation. But this has application to this virus, to other sicknesses and illnesses that we may be subject to. When the Word of God says Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, no doubt the reference is first of all to our spiritual infirmities and spiritual sicknesses. But, as we know from the story of Jesus coming into the world, He also took all our weaknesses, all our pains, all our illnesses upon Himself. We refer to that in theology when we speak of Jesus' weakened human nature. And in connection with that, to the fact that He was subject to all the troubles that we experience in this life. And, having paid for our sins and begun by His Spirit the work of our spiritual healing, He helps us with those physical infirmities and sicknesses as well. Doesn't keep us from getting sick. There's no promise whatsoever in the Word of God that if you trust in Jesus, the coronavirus cannot possibly infect you. And no promise that if you are attacked by it, that you won't die. No promise whatsoever. You're not in any different position than Jesus Himself was when He was on earth. Still subject to all these earthly troubles. But there is this, beloved, and that is also the work of the great physician. And the result of what He's done as our Savior, there is this, that if you do become ill with this virus, And if you die of it, that you will not become ill or die as the ungodly do. Those who do not believe. You know that. But it's good, isn't it, in these present difficulties to be reminded of that. That it matters not, for example, that I become ill with this virus, because it won't change for me the fact that I belong to a faithful Savior who has, by His almighty power, cured me of something far worse. And who makes it possible for me, even if I'm ill and suffering, still to serve the God of my salvation and still to be thankful to Him. For a child of God, you know, today really isn't any different. Than, what is it now, month, 2 months ago, when we never even heard of this virus? He's in the same relationship to the God of his salvation. Has the same calling to serve and glorify God, whatever his place in God's kingdom may be. Has reason still to be thankful. In a real sense of the word, nothing has changed for him. And that's true even if he dies of this virus, as some have. Death is then for him only a shortcut to heaven. And to that full cure that awaits us in heaven of all our present weaknesses and infirmities, both spiritual and physical. That's how Jesus is the fulfillment of the words of Isaiah the prophet. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. I mentioned a moment ago that's true for those who believe in Him. But you mustn't get the wrong impression from that. You have that in the story of the centurion, too. Jesus speaks of his amazing faith. He understood better than anyone else, perhaps even the disciples at that point, the power and authority of Jesus, that he could, without even being present, say to a disease, "Be gone," and it had to obey him. And Jesus says of his faith, "As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." But you mustn't get the wrong impression from that. You have to understand, when we talk about faith and connection with Jesus' power to heal, have to understand that faith is itself part of the cure. If you believe in Him, then you don't say, I started and He finished it. But you say, thanks, Lord, for giving me that gift of faith, which makes me one with Yourself and puts me into contact with You, the great physician, so that all the healing power that is in You flows to me also. Do well in that connection to remember the story of that woman who very timidly touched the hem of His garment in order to be healed. That's faith. Faith puts us into contact with Him, and that's how we're healed. It's not a pill, not something like that that heals us, but living unity with the Son of God, in whom is life and health and all that we need. By faith, in other words, I am in Him. And so am healed. So what does this all mean for us? We've already talked about the fact. That's one thing that we have to see in what's happening, our greater need. But have two, to look in faith to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I'm convinced, you may disagree with me if you wish, but I'm convinced that one of the reasons why people are acting like they're insane and buying great big boxes of toilet paper and drinking water in a kind of panic over what's happening, convinced that the reason for that is that's all they have to give them some sense of safety and security. But no wonder then that they're in a panic. But what a lesson for us to look to no one in our needs but Jesus Himself. If toilet paper and bottled water can't be our security, then nothing else but the Son of God in His healing power may be or can be our security. And to Him we must look. And look to Him too in hope. Hope of His coming when our cure spiritually but also physically will be finished and will be without tears, without suffering, without death, but above all, without sin in His eternal kingdom. We sang that. Sang about the person whose trust is in the Lord. Upon the bed of suffering, Jehovah will sustain. And in His sickness, God will soothe the weariness and pain. And we sang this too. Summarizes everything that's been said this evening. O Lord, to Thee my cry ascends. Let me Thy mercy see. Heal Thou my soul, for I have sinned. I have offended Thee. And having heard the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we sing too, Blessed be Jehovah, Israel's God, forevermore. Amen. Let age to age eternally repeat His praise. Amen. With body and soul, in life and in death, in sickness and in health, I am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And thanks be to Jehovah for that. I'm not afraid, but look forward in it all to that great day of healing when the Son of Righteousness will arise again and come for me with healing in His wings. And may God grant that it be soon. Amen. Father, we thank Thee. Thank Thee once again.